to them. Just one second.
Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Life Open Miracles with Vincent Sandee. Today's topic is winning over dramatic life challenges. We have a special guest, which is Clive. And again, welcome to Life Open Miracles with Vincent Sandee. It's going twice. We have some technical problems as usual.
Hello.
Okay, once again, welcome to Life Open Miracles with Vincent Sandee. Today's topic is winning over dramatic life challenges, and we have a very special guest today. Today we have Clive Harvey Fox. But before we delve into the show a little bit more deeply, we start talking actually. Well, let me remind you that you can go to my website. The website is www.joycelestial.com. And if you want to go there, you can just sign up for my newsletter, which is you can get live mystical lessons for free. And just go to www.joycelestial.com, and you will find the sign-up form there. And it is really easy. You can just go there and sign up for it. I hear my voice coming back. We might have some technical problems today, or maybe there's some kind of resonance with the phones. I'm not sure. But anyway, Clive, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Do you hear this voice coming back as well?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Well, this is for the first time that is happening. Let's do one experiment, okay? So anyway, we can edit the show later. I'm sorry for the guests who are listening. Let's hang up and let's call again, okay? So let's see. Yes, I can hear you.
Great.
Let's hang up and let's call again. I don't know what is happening today. Okay, welcome again to Life Open Miracles with Vincent Sandee. We have a special guest today to talk about how to win over dramatic life challenges. My guest is Clive Harvey Fox, and we're going to connect with him at this moment. Let's see if he is already there. Clive, are you there already?
I am here.
I think there is something. When I connect with you, I hear my computer coming back, the voice coming back. I'm not sure whether you have the computer just next to you or listening, but you should just speak with me on the phone instead of having the computer on, I think. Okay, that's great.
Brilliant. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. You should turn off your computer probably and just speak on the phone with me.
Okay. I've done that.
Okay, so now it should be fine, hopefully. Yes, now I can hear you perfectly. Great. Now I hear my voice coming back. Are you calling me Skype, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But we didn't have this problem before when we were talking on the phone right before.
No, not at all. Crazy. Very frustrating.
Yes, it's the very first time that is happening. Well, what can we do? I'm not sure about this. Let's make an experiment. Just you hang up and you call again, and I will introduce you anyway to the... Okay.
Do you want me to dial in again?
Yes, start again. Just hang up and let's see what happens. Oh, okay. What happens? Are you there?
I am.
Okay. Now I think I have sorted out the problems. Wonderful. Okay. That's great. Okay, Clive, thank you so much for your patience, and thank you for your patience to everyone who's listening. So hello from wherever you're listening, from London, Hong Kong, and Cape Town today, Rome, and U.S. Thank you so much. We have a very important topic to talk about today and a beautiful story to share with Clive. Clive is a man who went through many challenges in his life, and he had the strength and power to rise above all these challenges at once, with the power of his inner self, I believe, and with the power of the spiritual self that's within him. And he's a person that I consider inspiring. So, Clive, would you like to tell our listeners what is it that you do, actually, so that you can talk about it for yourself?
A lot of my work at the moment is around HIV. Working in communities in South Africa which have a very high prevalence of HIV, working with those people, exposing them to a treatment which I've been through myself, which seems to have been very effective. I also continue to do quite a lot of writing. I've been a prolific writer for the last many, many years. I do a lot of counseling work. I'm busy. My life is about people, helping people to help themselves, whether that's
right
around HIV or a number of other areas.
And you wrote a book that tells your story, and it's titled Finding My Gift, right?
Yes.
And now
yes,
you're rewriting it. You're reviewing it. So
well,
the
book is autobiographical, but the intention of the book was really never to broadcast my story. I rather feel that my story is irrelevant, but has a relevance in terms of helping people to look into the difficulties of their lives and to use those difficulties as an opportunity to become more. If you have followed my writing at all, you'll see I talk a lot about more or less. I believe that so long as we're living a life where we're constantly striving to be more, we grow as human beings. It's an act of self-love to aspire to be more. Anyway, it's been interesting because people who've read the book have commented to me that, yes, it is my story, but while they were reading it, it took them into their own life situation and got them to start thinking about how to deal with adversity within their own lives. We all have adversity. Without adversity, we would never grow. And one of my intentions in that book is really to get people to look at adversity differently. If we choose to be victims, we will remain being victims, and life will be very difficult. But if we drop the mantle of victimhood and rather choose to be victorious, despite anything that has happened to us, that's when life becomes truly exciting, truly, truly exciting.
Okay, but in your opinion, first of all, let me tell the listeners that if you want to speak with us, if you want to ask questions to Clive, please call 001 for U.S. Wherever you are in the world, you have to do the international dial code, or if you are in the U.S., you don't need that, of course. And then call 347-205-9092, 347-205-9092, or you can go to the page of the radio show, which is blogtalkradio.com/forward/lifeopenmiracles. And once you're there, you click on the title of the show and it will open a page with a chat. And that once you're logging in the chat room, you can also ask questions to us directly from that chat room. Therefore, you're most welcome to do so. And if you want to do so, it's great. Because I think Clive has a lot to share and he can really help you one-on-one to find a way out of suffering and a way out of your negative mental state, whatever challenges you're going through, because you really went through some very, very challenging situations. And I would like you, Clive, now tell us a little bit about your story, because I want you to share this with everyone who's listening or who will listen to the archives, which is really compelling and inspiring for me.
Well, I really believe that I've been a very lucky man in that at a very early age, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and that was to get involved in the investment world. And that's exactly what I did after I left school, and I ended up working in a merchant bank. I then ran one of our country's largest pension funds, or the investments of that pension fund. I then had my first major vision, which was for a whole new way of doing investment in South Africa. It was an extremely exciting time in my life, very busy, very active, quite pressured as well. At that time, I really discovered that I was gifted with the ability to heal with my hands. Some people have suggested that I now heal with my voice. And I became very involved in working with the terminally ill. Very important part of my development. At that stage, I was married. We really battled to have children. We did have a child, beautiful boy called James, who's now 21. And after he was born, the struggle to have children almost intensified, and it just seemed as though we'd never, ever have another child. Anyway, miraculously, my wife fell pregnant with the second child, who was born premature and sadly died a day after she was born. That was really the beginning of a major turning point in my life. That was the beginning of a period of extreme adversity, because the death of that child really led on to a divorce that I didn't really want. The confusion of that period of getting divorced led me to trading, and I think sadly in retrospect I was probably trading too heavily, and whilst I made a lot of money to begin with, I ended up losing all my money and going bankrupt. That bankruptcy started a court case which went on for nearly 10 years. During that court case, I was eventually found guilty of something which I knew I'd never done, and was given an 8-year jail sentence. We went on appeal, and fortunately, the judgment was overturned in an appeal which lasted only 20 minutes. During that time that the court case was going on, I started feeling a strangeness in my health, went for a checkup, only to discover that I was HIV positive.
HIV didn't seem like it was going to be a huge challenge to begin with. I knew that it had come to teach me something absolutely profound, and that I needed to work with that HIV to come to an understanding of what life was really trying to show me and teach me. The extreme pressure of the latter part of the court case literally forced my health to collapse, and I plunged into full-blown AIDS for the first time. And that was really the first time in my life where I faced the possibility of dying. And I remember one day lying in my bed, unable to get out of bed, really thinking, oh wow, this feels like it could be the end of my life. And I looked at the ceiling.
Were you unable to get out of bed because of physical inability, or because you were just tired mentally of all this challenge and stuff like this?
I was so physically weakened by the AIDS that I was suffering at that stage that I just didn't have the physical strength to get out of bed. I was very thin and really not in good shape at all. Anyway, I looked at the ceiling and I thought, you know what, this has happened for a reason. I really believe that everything in our lives happens for a reason. And for good reason too, rather than bad reason. Choose to find the positive in any situation and life becomes easier. Anyway, I started a conversation with God and I literally said, okay, you've cut me down for a reason. I clearly haven't been listening to you and you must have a message for me. There must be something.
Were you already practicing or praying before you went through this challenge, or it just came out in that moment?
No, I'd already had a long period of regular prayer and meditation.
Okay.
Anyway, I asked for a message, and the message did come later in the day, and I'm not going to go into the detail of how it was delivered, although that was really very profound and is in my book. But the message was clear and it said, write the book. So I had already written the first manuscript, which had been edited, and I decided to delete it because I didn't believe it was how I wanted the book to be. So I literally said, please give me the strength to be able to write this book and I will do it. And you know, it was extraordinary. The next morning, I woke up and got out of bed. I don't know where my strength had come from, but it came back. And 4 months later, my first book was written. I have written two others, which are awaiting publication at the moment, but they should be out fairly shortly. Many people have felt that I've had an unusually challenged life, extraordinary highs and lows. I think I've been very blessed, I really do. Life has taken me into such a huge variety of situations and many, many opportunities to grow as a human being. And that's a blessing. I believe that the purpose of life is to grow. We haven't come onto this planet necessarily to have fun and have a good time, but I believe we have come here for our own soul development, such that when we die, our soul can move on, enriched by the experience of that life. And yes, I've been given huge opportunity to develop my soul.
I agree with you. Adversity. In the mystical yoga tradition, basically, whatever bad comes, it is there to free you to, in some way.
Yes.
So that you can get lighter and lighter and lighter, and then eventually when you die, when you leave this planet, when you will leave this body, who you will have is just you. You will not have your house, you will not have your car, you will not have anything else but just you. So No matter, and then if you compare to eternity, which is your soul, if you compare just a few years on this planet to eternity, and then to the degree of freedom that you can have through these challenges eventually is of much better value.
Agreed. Agreed. I, in my life, have spent quite a lot of time getting close to dying people as part of that healing ministry that I spoke about earlier on. And I have to say that of all the people who I've ever been with and who I've tried to help in their journey to cross to the other side, I've never once witnessed trauma. I've always noticed that just before death, the most extraordinary peace comes over people. And I've often looked at this and thought, well, why are we so scared of dying? What I've seen with these people has been the most delightful peace as they surrender into this extraordinary transformation, which death is. It's just a transformation.
Yeah, people are afraid of dying because they don't know there's something else. They're afraid to be destroyed, basically, I think. But probably when you start connecting with spirit, you realize there's something more. And that's when you start being really human 100%, I think.
It's life is exciting. Life is very exciting. You were talking about suffering earlier, and there's a wonderful Buddhist saying that says life is difficult, suffering is optional. Life is difficult. It has many challenges, but those challenges come to grow us. And this whole question of suffering being optional, you can look at any situation in life and go, do I intend to be a victim here? Or am
I just
going to move on?
If there's no suffering,
and carry
then life
on.
Can be easy no matter how difficult it is.
Sure, sure.
Well, yeah.
I had a truly amazing experience sitting in the courtroom waiting for my appeal. I was obviously very stressed because if the appeal hadn't turned out the way it had turned out, I would have gone to jail. I knew that I wasn't guilty of anything that had been laid against me, but a magistrate had chosen in his wisdom that I'd done something wrong and decided to give me an 8-year jail sentence. So as I sat in that courtroom waiting for the two high court judges to come in for the appeal, as I was looking at the front of the courtroom, I suddenly became aware of two huge angels standing on either side of the area where the judges would be sitting. And my first reaction was, I've gone mad, and I'm now imagining stuff. And I just shut my eyes for a while and thought, well, when I open my eyes again, they'll be gone, and I will have literally wiped clear this illusion that I've had. Anyway, when I opened my eyes again, there they were, and they were very real. Believe you me, they were extremely real. They weren't soft, pretty little angels. They were large, big men. I suppose one could almost consider them to be archangels. They were very powerful beings. And as I say, they were looking down into the area where the judgment was to be delivered from. And in that moment, I literally said to God, whatever it is that is meant to happen now, I surrender into it. Even if I've got to, go to jail, that is clearly your will, and I will accept it gladly. We often pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done, but we don't often choose to live by that particular doctrine. We'd far rather our will be done than the will of the deity. Anyway, the moment
usually we say Yes, your will be done, but I hope it's my will. It's the same as mine.
Absolutely. Indeed.
Yes.
Anyway, in that moment, the most incredible peace came over me. The judges came into the court, and I literally couldn't believe what I was witnessing. The clarity of this judgment and the speed of it. And in essence, they said this case should never have even got to court, and go and have a good life. And that gave me the opportunity to move on. And I remember leaving the courtroom, I had my eldest brother with me, and he said, wow, he said, you're probably going to have the biggest party in your life tonight. And I looked at him and I said, to be honest, I would choose not to have any party tonight. And he said, but this is a huge, huge victory for you. And I was unaware of it at that stage, but the amazing pressure that I'd been under had literally pushed me into full-blown AIDS. And it was just a short while after that that I went for a checkup, and the specialist who I saw said, Clive, you have plunged into full-blown AIDS, and said, if you don't go on to medication today, you'll be dead in 3 months, which was quite hard to come to terms with. I mean, we all read about AIDS, we look at it in films and through various media, but to be told that you have AIDS is quite a judgment on your life. And thus began a very interesting new period of struggle, if one could call it struggle. The various opportunistic infections that come with being in full-blown AIDS started to set in, and I would literally recover from one type of infection just to lapse into the next. I had incredible problems with my skin. The itching was literally unbearable, and it went on 24 hours a day. And yes, I have to be honest and say there were moments where I wasn't sure whether I could actually carry on. And I remember one particular evening coming home from a meeting, and in the car on the way home, in an audible voice talking to God, I said, I can't do this anymore. Please just allow this virus to rage through my body now and allow me to die. I said, I'm tired. I'm really very, very tired. And I went to bed, and I remember waking up in the morning with a vision of a large white lamb. And I knew immediately what that meant. It was the Lamb of God who had come to reassure me that I hadn't been abandoned. And I've had many similar experiences when my life has felt completely pressured, and those moments where, gee, I just can't do this anymore, I'm tired, this is too much. I've always felt the intervention of spirit in some or other truly amazing way. Just before I went for the appeal, in fact, I woke up in the middle of the night one night with this hugely bright white light shining in my face in a very darkened bedroom, and I thought someone had broken into the apartment I was staying in and was shining like a searchlight into my face. And I called out and I said, who's there? Who are you? And there was no reply. And then I knew who it was. It was spirit. Spirit had come to remind me that I was not alone. In the darkness of that bedroom, there was suddenly hugely bright light. And once I'd acknowledged that it was spirit, the light faded and disappeared. And I actually burst into tears, because it just felt so overwhelming to think that spirit could come and touch one so closely. But that's the way spirit is. Spirit's with us all the time. It's we who block it out. It's we who don't fully acknowledge the awesome journey that we walk with Spirit. So, as I say, in all these moments of extreme pressure, I've always been reminded that I'm not alone, and I have never been alone. Yes?
Hi. It's really, really beautiful. And so would you say basically that it's not just you who helped yourself in overcoming all these challenges? You definitely, we need to be aware of the support of Spirit as well. Do you think people
Absolutely.
Can do it alone? Yeah, do you think people will do it if they offer themselves to Spirit more easily than instead of trying to do it alone or only for themselves,
Absolutely.
Only by themselves?
Do you know what? I don't believe we are meant to do it alone. I think that's part of the great lesson that we've come to learn. We love to be independent. We love to do things on our own and in our own power. But every now and then, Spirit needs to remind us that there is a power far greater than ourselves. And we need to lock into that. And I try and live a life where, yes, I meditate a lot, but I also pray. Mm-hmm. And even during the day, I might be in the car, I might be about to go into a meeting, whatever it is. And I just call on Spirit and say, please be with me now. Please show me the way. Please show me my next step. Give me the guidance that I need. It also forces us to surrender, because when you're calling on this sort of power, you can't go into competition with Spirit and say, okay, well, I want you here, but I'm going to be doing it under my own power as well. It's literally a time to capitulate and to become the power of Spirit, to allow Spirit to move through us completely and to guide us. And I have to say that since I've lived in this way, I've really had some truly amazing experiences. Life has started to get far bigger than I ever imagined it could ever be. I look at the work that I'm doing at the moment. I look at some of the people who I'm led to meet day by day, many of them from hugely impoverished communities. But even though they come from the poorest of the poor, I have to tell you, they are extraordinary people, really extraordinary people. I had a situation just a few days ago where I visited a very derelict house, and in that house was an elderly woman who was looking after 25 AIDS orphans. And just arriving at the place and looking at how dilapidated it was, we got inside and discovered that they had no electricity at all, no electricity. They were living with most of the windows having been broken out. And I looked at these people and I thought, wow, this is extreme difficulty. But you know, I looked at the happiness of those people, those orphans and that woman, and it taught me a great deal. We often believe that happiness can only come when we have a big bank balance or a big position in life, status. But actually, I think the more simple we allow our lives to be, the happier we will be. Happiness can never come through what we own. Happiness can only really come by being who we are,
exactly.
And by choosing to be happy, to make that decision every day.
Would you describe us like your ordinary day? Like, you, first of all, is there a difference between the commitment you had with Spirit of what you could do when you were feeling really sick, and now that you feel much better? I would like to know, what was your day then? How, in front of a huge challenge, that is, yes, you prayed, and yes, but what exactly did you do? Let's go a little bit more in detail, just to give Because now I believe it's, I understand what you did, and you prayed and you meditated and you asked God, and God was there with you, and that's it's fantastic. But some of us, some people maybe don't have the luck to be able to see, even though God is there anyway. You know, sometimes it's hard to hear a message. So what would you advise? This is the better question. What would you advise to somebody who's listening to do if he's facing a very, you know, very dramatic situation?
There are three practices that I believe very firmly in. The one is meditation.
Is meditation like something transcendental, or is it like a visualization?
The meditation that I teach people is really just a connection with the breath, to sit quietly with the body uncrossed and to focus on the breath, the in-breath, the out-breath, and preferably with a pause between each. As we start to focus on that breathing, so our mind starts to release all the various things that it's trying to think about, and we go still. It's into that stillness that I believe spirit truly inspires us. This term inspiration, which is the indwelling of spirit, where spirit actually comes into us. Spirit actually
When you say uncrossed, it means like not crossing legs and arms, just being just in sense of posture, openness with the posture?
Absolutely, an open posture.
Okay.
Spirit cannot be where ego is. So as we go into meditation, what we're effectively doing is letting go of our ego. And as we become more and more able to do it, so spirit basically gets the opportunity to start moving in and through our lives. So that's the first thing, and I would always choose, whether the times are tough or good, to do 20 minutes of meditation at the start of each day. The second thing that I have found incredibly useful is journaling. And journaling is not so much about keeping a diary of your life. I use journaling to reconnect with my feelings. So in other words, as I start writing my journal, I write down three words: I am feeling. And then I stop and I go, what am I feeling? And I write it down. And then I start to unpack those feelings. I think so many of us grow up trying to avoid our feelings, trying to say, oh no, this is too painful. Let me rather have some alcohol or use recreational drugs or whatever to numb that feeling. But I believe that our feelings are really important messages coming from our subconscious as a form of guidance, and we need to listen to those feelings. So what I do is I would write a few pages about what I'm feeling on that day. I would start to unpack those feelings and to start to get an understanding as to why I'm feeling whatever it is I'm feeling. And having done this for quite some years now, I've come to realize that as I journal, so I bring a very profound clarity to my life, a very, very profound clarity. And that's so useful. You know, if you can be clear about what's going on in your life, you can take profound decisions. You really can. The third thing that I believe is hugely important is physical exercise. Up until the time when I lapsed into full-blown AIDS, I used to go running nearly every morning. And once I had come out of AIDS and had got my health back again, I chose to be running again. If I can't be running, well, then I would do some brisk walking. But I think it's important that at least a few times a week we engage in an exercise that forces us to sweat. Because I've noticed that if I don't get decent exercise, I can feel this tension starting to build in my body. I can feel that tightness coming into my shoulders. But if I actually get out there and do some exercise, the body starts to relax. You sleep a hell of a lot better, and the tension dissipates. It's a wonderful form of stress busting. The combination of all three of those practices used together is hugely powerful. Hugely, huge powerful. I know some people would argue that they don't have the time to do maybe even one of them, but I would suggest that we have a profound look into our time to see how much time we're sitting watching television, aimlessly watching stuff that doesn't really add to our lives. Is that a worthwhile
I agree. Sometimes we go out to see friends, we watch television, we do things that are not really interesting, we go shopping for hours.
Sure. And for what?
What about having, yes, what about 30 minutes meditation or exercise? I mean, we could all do that if we really wanted to. And people say, well, I'm too tired. Yeah, sometimes people say, I'm tired, but this will give you back the energy. Very much, because first of all, as you know, with exercise, the energy starts moving, and your body improves, and then with meditation, mind relaxes. So this will give you energy, I believe. I want to ask you one thing about journaling, Clive, because it sounds very beautiful. Then I am feeling what else, and then people write whatever it is that they're feeling. And do you think the solutions, like... a practice for the solutions about these feelings, no? Is it like people get to know their own answers as they write, or do you also suggest another practice once they have identified their problems with the feelings and how they go, about finding the solutions for that? Does it come on its own with as soon as clarity comes of the feelings that they are having?
In my experience, as I've been sitting writing and unpacking the feelings, I literally can feel the solutions to whatever problems I perceive I might have start to percolate out of that writing experience. And on some occasions, it's almost felt like a major epiphany that I'm sitting there writing about something and along comes this epiphany where it's like a huge wake-up to an important decision that needs to be taken in one's life or a change of direction, whatever it might be. but this is powerful. This is seriously powerful stuff. I often tell people to become the architects of their own lives. And I've really sensed that while I've been sitting writing on the page, I am in fact engaging in being the architect of my own life. I'm looking
as you start writing,
closely.
You mean, as you write about your feelings and the solutions that might come up, right? And one other thing, do you think, some people have a problem in maybe they get clear on the paper, and still then when they have to pass what they've written on paper then into action, let's say, they have that problem of shifting from the paper into action. Do you think that also will come natural as people keep on writing, or they really need to have that kind of enough energy to move away from the inertia?
I had a very interesting experience with journaling quite a few years ago. I'd kept writing about a particular situation that had been bothering me in my life, And literally day after day after day, it came up on the page somewhere. Until one day I put the pen down and literally said, Clive Fox, what are you going to do about this now? Are you going to keep writing about this for the rest of your life? Or are you actually going to get a grip and do something about it today? And you know, that was the day where I actually did take action. And from then on, I never had to write about it again. It was dealt with. It was done. It was over. And do you know what? It was that time where I was probably ready to handle it. Yes, I'd had to mull it over and over and over, but eventually it took me to a point where I was ready to move on, ready to transcend whatever was holding me back and move to my next level. And that was so exciting, very, very exciting.
And how did you approach the action? Did you feel at the beginning you were overwhelmed by all that you could see you had to do, or what, did it come easy, like one step at a time? Was it easy for you to take one step at a time, or do you think there was just too much to do?
You know, I've always been quite an ambitious person, and I've often wanted things to happen a lot faster than they've actually happened. But the older I get now, the more I realize that the most successful way of living is just to plan for the next small step. No more giant leaps, just another small step. And once that small step has been achieved successfully, to then ask Spirit for guidance as to what the next step might be, and to give some indication as to how to deal with it. It's a very, very exciting way of living. Most of us sabotage ourselves by trying to achieve too much in one step. And we look at these monumental steps that we believe we should be taking, and we go, no, I won't do it today. I'll have a look at that tomorrow. And we procrastinate, and procrastination is not about laziness. It's about fear. It's about the fear of this huge leap that we believe we are meant to be taking. If one can just break those leaps down into a progression of tiny, tiny steps, suddenly the fear dissipates and we start moving again. It's exciting. Very exciting.
Yes, exactly. You know that you don't have to build a huge palace right now, but you can just go and look for the colors of the walls or something else. You know, keep it small. I mean, that's something that you can actually do right now that you have control over.
As you were talking of a palace, I think so many of us aspire to these large, grand homes that we would choose to live in.
Exactly.
I look at life now, and I'm not sure that I ever would want a huge home anymore. I have had quite a big home already. But how many rooms can you be in at any time? How many beds can you sleep in? How many people do you really want to come for dinner? Do you need to have a table that can seat 30 people? I'm not sure that I want any of that anymore. I think a lot of that is just ego nonsense. It's about trying to prove to the world that we are something that we probably aren't.
Probably the ego is the... Is the voice of spirit sometimes that tells us you are more than that, and because we can't hear that voice, then the ego says, is the ego desire for expansion into spirit, but we cannot recognize that. This is something that I learned from a spiritual teacher, and I found it really true. But the ego says, well, if I could have that little bit more, that sofa, if I could have $500 more a month, if I could have a little bit more, then I would be happy. Then you get it, and then you see that it's not yet what you wanted, and you say, okay, a little bit more. And that little bit more is actually your desire to expand in spirit. And only when you start doing that, then you realize, well, actually, you know what, I don't want any of these things, but I'm happy with having this inner joy that comes spontaneously as soon as I start connecting.
I think when we can get to a point where we live in intense gratitude for what we have, rather than living in a state of resentment for what we perceive to be the lack of our in our lives, once we can get into that deep gratitude for even the tiniest things in our life, then life starts to really become a very pleasurable journey, a very, very pleasurable journey. I've come to realize that I've never, ever needed anything. Everything that I need is given to me before I've even thought about it. Life gets
yes.
confusing when we start mixing up needs and wants is, I want a big house and I want a Ferrari. But do I need
right.
a big house and do I need a Ferrari? No. You know, I look at the woman who I told you about just a few moments ago, living with 25 children. They have no money and they are totally reliant on people bringing food to them every day. Do you know, they are the most cheerful people. And as she said, we've never gone without a meal. Never. How exciting is that? You know, they haven't been forgotten by spirit. They haven't been left
no.
to just rot and die. Yes, their life may not be terribly comfortable, but gee, if you look at their smiling faces, I guess there's quite a lot that we could all learn from that. A hell of a lot. Beautiful people. Very beautiful people. Extraordinary people.
Okay, Clive, thank you so much for being here. I would like to wrap up because we have just a few minutes left. So I would like, you know, just to say again what we have been saying. So you went through many life challenges. Some of them, you know, you would have rather died instead of continue to face these challenges, let's say. But the solution to all this is simple. This is what I would like to say to everybody who's listening. Start meditating, start connecting with spirit, let go of the stress of the mind, of the tightness of the mind and the grip that the mind has on you. Start journaling, which is a way of self-analysis, understanding about yourself in a simple way, and keep yourself in movement through a simple exercise.
Absolutely.
And this is how Clive was able to overcome these challenges and to find life behind the deathly experiences he was facing. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. And there's one just other thing that I would like to share with your listeners.
Yes.
At the time that I was diagnosed as having HIV, I believed that HIV had come to teach me something very profound. I also
right.
believed that HIV would leave me
what
all these lessons that I needed to learn.
Clive, wait a second. You just went off with the voice for a moment. Repeat the last 1 minute because the voice disappeared for a moment.
Okay.
Sorry to ask you that.
As I
yes.
say,
yeah.
No problem. When I was diagnosed with HIV, I believed that it had come into my life to teach me some very profound things. I also believed that once I'd fully embraced all the learning that I needed to do from this situation, that HIV would actually leave me. And medical science will tell you that once you're infected with HIV, you've got it for life. Well, I was hugely blessed in that I was taken through a very extraordinary treatment called HIVEX, H-I-V-E-X, in July of this year. I decided
mm-hmm.
to come off my medication a month before undergoing that treatment so that I could really measure the full impact of that treatment. So I've been off my medication now for nearly 7 months, and I have to tell you, I've never felt better. I have profound levels of energy. I work very long hours, 13 hours a day. I'm working with people and their healing and what have you right through the day. I love my work. I couldn't do that if I was still ill. I've moved to a situation where I take no medication at all now, none at all, and I'm healthy, and people look at me and say, my God, you look so well. So really what I'm trying to say here is, those of you who are listening, whatever it is that life has thrown at you, really embrace what you need to learn out of it, because the quicker you undertake the learning, the quicker it's going to leave you. And yes, there are a lot of people who probably are of the view that HIV can't be cured and it can't go away. Well, I think I'm going to prove to the world that it can. I think I'll be living evidence of...
And I would like to validate what you're saying here with one thing. According, I always approach people considering my background, which is the mystical tradition of yoga. According to this mystical tradition of yoga that I always talk about and that I live by, there is one thing that is absolutely essential to understand. There is no cause that is finite, that comes from this world, that is from the world of law of cause and effect, that can have an eternal effect. In other words, if you do something today that makes you suffer, that creates a problem, this problem does not have an eternal effect. It will not stay for you forever, because there is the intensity of this event that you're having today that can be absolutely strong and it can have an effect on you for sure, but eventually this will dissipate because it's the law of the universe. And if the karma that we create in general can be undone through eradicating the seeds that created that karma, that are of course not just not physical but also deep from the soul, most of it from the soul. And this is one of the most important things to understand. I'm not advising people to stop doing what they're doing, but understand that there is always light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, Clive, we have 90 seconds to close. I want everyone to go to indigo-men, indigo-men.com, which is Clive's website, and I know he's starting a program. We didn't have time to talk about this. Adam, when you start this program, which is called Adam, the probably you said you were going to start in March, please come back, let me know how you're doing, if that's okay with you.
I would love that. And thank you so much for this time
we've
shared.
You're welcome.
And I just encourage all your listeners to choose to be more.
Thank you so much, Clive. Be more, go to visit his website, indigo-man.com. Go to my website, joycelestial.com, and connect with us. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next week with Life Open Miracles with Vincent Sandy. Thank you and goodbye.